Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building one of the most useful arrangement moves in drum and bass, the switch shop rebuild. We're doing it from scratch in Ableton Live 12, using stock tools only, and we're aiming for that jungle and old school DN beat energy, where the loop mutates instead of just repeating. The big idea here is simple. In DNB, repetition is essential, but pure repetition gets stale fast. A strong switch up keeps the identity of the drop intact while changing the drum phrasing, bass movement, and automation so the section feels like it's evolving in real time. It's not a reset. It's more like the tune is taking a new shape while staying in the same world. We're going to build a 16-bar rebuild that starts from an established groove and turns into a second phase drop variation. Think chopped break edits, a more conversational bass line, a reese that changes tone and width, and a transition that makes the whole thing feel intentional and DJ-friendly. So let's start by setting the scene. Open a clean Ableton Live 12 set at 174 BPM. If you already have a first drop, duplicate that section into a new 16-bar area so you can rebuild without losing the original idea. Organize your tracks into simple groups: drums, breaks, bass, effects, and atmos. That kind of structure keeps the process clear, especially when you start automating and editing more aggressively. Before you place a single hit, decide what the switch-up is supposed to do. That matters more than people think. If the first drop is already dense, the switch-up should probably become a little more spacious and syncopated. If the first drop is minimal, the switch-up can become more percussive and aggressive. If the first drop is straight and rolling, the switch-up can get more chopped and broken. The point is to change the emotional shape without losing the tune's identity. Now let's build the core drum foundation. Drag in an Amen break, or a similar classic jungle break, onto an audio track. Make sure warp is on, and if needed, set the clip to beats mode so it stays locked to the grid. For this style, don't over-quantize it. A little swing and roughness is part of the magic. Old school energy often lives in those tiny imperfections. From there, you can slice the break to a new MIDI track if you want fast chop performance, or manually edit the audio clip if you want more control over the transients. Either way, the goal is to preserve the character of the break while making it play nicely with the groove. Layer that break with a simple kick and snare spine. In DNB, the break gives you movement and texture, but the kick and snare are what help the grid stay readable. Depending on the vibe, you might be going with a more rolling kick pattern, or a classic backbeat placement with the snare landing firmly on the 2 and 4. A good stock tool for the break group is Drumbus. Use it for extra punch and a little saturation. You don't need to slam it. A little drive, a bit of crunch, and some transients can make the break feel more alive without crushing the natural edge. If the break starts eating the low end, cut some mud with EQ8 around the 120 to 250 Hz area. And if the break gets too fizzy, back off the top end rather than overprocessing it. Now the bass. This is where a lot of people think in loops, but for DNB switch-ups, it helps to think in phrases. The bass should be written like it's having a conversation with the drums, not just sitting on top of them. So build your bass line in two parts. Let bars 1 to 4 establish the main groove, and bars 5 to 8 introduce a variation with rests, shorter notes, or a different syncopation. A stock wavetable or operator patch is perfect here. For a darker roller or jungle vibe, a simple saw or pulse-based patch with some detune on the mid layer can give you that moving edge. Keep the sub clean and mono. That's a big one. Split your bass into a sub layer and a mid or reese layer. The sub should stay pure, centered, and stable. The mid layer is where you can get wider, rougher, and more animated. On the sub, use operator with a sine wave and put utility on it to keep it mono. If needed, shape it with a EQ8, but keep it simple. The sub notes should be short unless you really need a sustained push. And don't let them overlap too much if the low end starts to smear. In DNB, note length is arrangement. Shorter notes create space. Longer notes create pressure. Now let's turn the rebuild into a proper switch-up instead of just a loop variation. Build a call and response structure. A good starting point is bars 1 and 2 feeling familiar, bars 3 and 4 reducing bass density, so the break can mutate, bars 5 and 6 answering with a stronger bass movement, and bars 7 and 8 giving you a fill, tension, and reset. This is where the groove starts to tell a story. Try letting the bass hit on the offbeat while the break fills the downbeat space. Or drop the sub for a half bar and let ghost notes or break details carry the momentum for a moment. Then slam the bass back in on the next downbeat. That little drop in density can make the return feel massive. Also, pay attention to velocity and note length. Small velocity changes can make a bass phrase feel far less robotic. And because we're working in a genre that thrives on controlled repetition, those tiny shifts matter. They change the feel without making the section lose its identity. Now for the part that really brings the switch up to life. Automation. This lesson is really about automation-driven evolution. The bass should not just get louder or quieter. It should change perception. Use autofilter, EQ8, saturator, chorus ensemble, and utility to shape that movement over time. A really effective move is to slowly open the filter on the mid-bass or re-slayer across the rebuild. Start darker and tighter, then let it open up over 4 bars or so. You can also automate a little width on the mid-layer while keeping the sub-mono. That gives you movement without wrecking the low end. A small rise and saturator drive in the last 2 bars can make the section feel like it's leaning forward and getting more aggressive. The key here is not to automate everything at once. Choose one hero movement per phrase. Maybe the first half of the switch up is about filter movement, and the second half is about width and grit. Keep it musical. If you want a more old school feel, make the filter movement sound like a sampler being pushed rather than a polished EDM sweep. Next, mutate the drums themselves. Duplicate the break and make a new edit for the second half of the section. Move a few ghost notes a little early or a little late. Mute one kick or snare hit for a tiny pocket of space. Add a quick 1-bar roll at the end of bar 4 or bar 8. Or reverse a tiny slice of the break to create that turnaround feeling. These little edits are huge in jungle and old school DNB because they make the drum pattern feel like it's breathing and shifting, not just looping. You can also group your drums and use drum bus on the group for a bit of extra drive and glue. Keep it subtle. You want the drums to feel rearranged, not flattened. If the groove starts collapsing under compression, back off and use clip gain or transient edits instead. Often, the cleanest way to get impact is to avoid overprocessing in the first place. Now let's talk about the transition into the switch up, because that's what makes the rebuild feel intentional. Before the switch up lands, create a 1 or 2 bar transition using stock effects. A high pass filter sweep on the music bus can work well, especially if you move it from roughly 30 Hz up toward 120 or even 180 Hz in the last bar. Add a short reverse cymbal, a noise swell, or a resampled hit. You can also throw a little delay feedback onto a stab or percussion hit, then pull it back before the downbeat for a more old school or jungle approach. Don't overdo the giant riser. Sometimes the strongest move is a brief pullback, a tiny gap, or even a half beat of silence before the groove slams back in. That contrast can be way bigger than a cinematic build. Now check the low end. This part is crucial. A switch up can sound exciting in isolation and still fall apart if the low end gets messy. Keep the sub mono with utility. Make sure any stereo movement is happening in the mid-range only. If the break is fighting the bass, trim some low end from the break. If the bass is masking the kick, shorten the bass notes or create tiny pockets with volume automation rather than trying to overcompress everything. A little saturator on the bass bus can help it translate on smaller systems, but don't overdo it. Use it for presence, not brute force. The goal is punch, clarity, and weight all at once. At this stage, think like a selector or DJ, not just a producer. A switch-up works best when it has a clear job in the tune. Maybe you're using it after the first 8 bars of the drop to refresh the energy. Maybe it's in the second half of a longer drop to build intensity before the turnaround. Either way, make sure the structure is still mix-friendly. Leave room for the grid to breathe. Keep at least one anchor element stable, like the snare placement, the subcenter, or a recognizable break texture. That way the listener always knows where they are, even while the tune is mutating. This is one of the most important teacher notes in the whole lesson. Think in energy inheritance, not replacement. The best switch-ups don't feel like a different song. They feel like the same song taking a new route. Carry over 1 or 2 familiar elements so the listener feels evolution instead of a hard reset. A few common mistakes to watch out for. Don't make the switch-up too different. If everything changes at once, you lose the tune's identity. Don't over-automate every control you can find. Pick 1 or 2 movement points and make them count. Don't let the sub go stereo. And don't use fills that kill the groove. A fill should redirect energy, not erase it. Also, don't ignore note length. In this genre, note length is part of the arrangement language. And don't automate only volume. Tone, width, saturation, and filter changes often make a far bigger impact than level alone. If you want the darker and heavier version of this technique, here are some extra moves that really work. Use a clean sub and a darker re-mid. Automate filter movement in small arcs rather than huge sweeps. Resample your own hits, reverse them, and chop them back, and so the section gets a unique fingerprint. Let ghost notes do more of the work than extra drums. Use saturation as motion. Keep the top end controlled so the tune stays dark and focused. And if you want a huge return, try a tiny dropout moment, like a 1/8 or 1/4 beat gap before the downbeat. That micro space can make the return absolutely hit.